This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abdullahi wa rasuluh. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah and we send our prayers of peace upon the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we testify with firmness and conviction that there's none that is worthy of worship but Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I continue to always remind myself and you of taqwallah azza wa jal. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that taqwa which is intentionally hidden in our heart, that which we have of love for Allah, hope in his mercy, and fear of him subhanahu wa ta'ala in equal measure, that which we keep private in our heart, that is more pleasing and greater than that which we seek to display and dramatize publicly to others. Allahumma ameen. Happiness. Subhanallah. The one thing that the young and the old, the men and the women, the diverse of culture and ethnicities, those of past generations and ones yet to come. If anyone is asked, what do you want in life? At the end of all the questions, I just want to be happy. I want money, but I want that money because I think it will make me happy. I want to be married because if I'm married, then I'm going to be Now, us married brothers, we know, yani, sah, huh? Wallahi. The sisters are probably even more in agreement in the back, right? Yani, you assume. As a human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ When we give ni'mah to al-insan, there's different reactions that come. Some of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Shakar, are thankful, grateful. They say, Alhamdulillah. In the good and the difficult, they are ajaban li amr al mu'min. The Prophet ﷺ says, bewildering, amazing in the condition of a true believer. In all of the conditions they face in life, they are thankful to their maker. When they're given blessing, shakar. He says, Alhamdulillah, I thank you, O Allah. They acknowledge that whatever they have in this temporal, temporary, short span of life, it is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah gives us adversity, they seek patience with Allah and are thankful for Allah for the things that has not been diminished. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was known for saying four things. He would say, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good I have. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the difficulty I face that is less than the difficulty I could have faced. I am thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shakiran lillah azza wa jal, for what I face that is less than what this other person faces. I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made me face the difficulty here rather than in the next life. Happiness, at times, as human beings, we make the fatal error of trying to make it metric, meaning measurable. Success is measurable. I can you can measure my success. I can measure your success in many things in life. But success is not equal to happiness. That worldly success, or what we think other people assume we will be happy because we possess it, is not true. Success is measurable. How far is your education? Oh, you finished your degree? That's a point of success. How much money do you have in the bank? How big is your car? How large is your home? How few are your debts? How continuing is your income and revenue? The type of clothes you wear? All of those are marks of worldly success. But that measurable metric success does not equate to the immeasurable happiness of the heart, delight of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about happiness in the Quran, it comes in a variety of contexts. One context that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about happiness, He talks about it in the context of relief. That you are under duress, yani you're in major difficulty. And then Allah removes some of it, not all of it. Do you feel happy or not? You say, Alhamdulillah. What I was yesterday compared to what I have today, Alhamdulillah. Jazakallahu anna khayran. Allahi barik fikum. Sallamak Allah. So that happiness that you attain, it's something in here. Why is it something, Allah, mashallah. Now I have to pause here, brother. Yani, when you get something like this, you got to say, what is this? So I'm going to have to take a sip and I'll let you know. Bismillah. Ginger kaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Happiness. Right? Happiness, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it to us in the Quran, that يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ. It's a moment of joy. When you see deliverance come from Allah, something you didn't expect becomes and comes from a place you never expected it, never knew it would come. Your taqwa manifested a reality in your life that your life, your physical life, could not produce it. So you feel happy. It's something that is beyond the physical. It is metaphysical. You sitting in front of me today, my dear brother and my dear sisters, are made up of three components. أنت الآن, Ya insan, O human being, you are three things. You are badan, a physique, a physical being. The difference between me and this cup of water is very little. As a physical being, 70% of you is what? Hada. What's the rest of me? The same thing that's in this leather, the same thing in the mortar of this bricks. Is this table wood? The same thing of this organic wood, that tree that breathes, that earth. Minha khalaqnakum. You were made from the deepest elements of the earth. The word Adam, that name, that ism, means from the depth. Min adim al ard. From the depth, the most minute parts of the earth. So you are physical. You are dirt, hydrogen, oxygen. You are carbon. You are an organic physical being. If you were to measure the genetic makeup of yourself, and I'm sure we have doctors with us today. My genetic makeup, my encoding, the difference between it and a swine, أعزكم الله, a pig, is less than 1%. Genetically, when people had heart problems and they began to experiment to change the valve, the defective congenital diseases of the heart, your valve would seep blood. When it should stop it, it used to seep. They open your chest up and they take that valve out. And they put another valve in. What was the animal they chose to take that valve from its heart and put it in your heart? a swine. Why? Because your body won't reject it. 99.98% of you is the same genetically as a swine. Physically, very similar. Allahu Akbar. But then there's a second component. You have an aql. So you are badan, a physical being, and you are aql. You are rational. Animals have a sense of rationale. Can you believe, you know, Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim, he quotes the verse in Surah al-Naml. Surah al-Naml, where Allah quotes an ant. رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومِ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. In your Quran, Allah quotes, قَالَتْ نَمْلَ. The ant said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلِ. Hey ants. يعني it knows its own. Shaykh al-Islam al-Qayyim talks about, in that one ayah, 11 different instructions that an ant makes in one sentence. In one verbal, in one form of communication. قَالَتْ نَمْلَ. An ant said. So there's a leader amongst ants who speaks to others. There's an amir, mashallah. Amir al-mu'mineen lil-ants. قَالَتْ نَمْلَ. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلَ. Hey, oh ants, be quiet. Listen to what I have to say. أُدْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ. There's danger. Go to your house. It recognizes danger before it arrives. And it recognizes who will inflict the danger. أُدْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ لَيَحْطِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانِ. Because Sulaiman, it knows a name. It knows who he is. And he knows what his function is. And that he is an authority above others. وَجُنُودُهُ. And his soldiers. It knows not just Sulaiman, because you might say he's a prophet of Allah. But it says his soldiers. It doesn't say the other people. It defines who they are and what their job is. That they will trample you, walk over you. There's a danger coming. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعَرُونَ. And it makes an excuse for you. And they cannot be blamed, because maybe they didn't know you're there. SubhanAllah. Allah quotes an ant in the Quran. Science today, they show us that ants are very complex, you know, in their makeup. In how they arrange their society, there's a queen ant, and there's like queen bees, and there's ants who do different jobs, and they leave chemical signatures and trails. And if you were to bother ants in that corner, and there's an ant here that belongs to that colony, as soon as you bother them there, this ant leaves whatever it's doing and runs back to help, because there's danger. It has a level of ability to think and rationalize, maybe not as much as you. You can, you know, I don't encourage too much internet. But if you go on YouTube and you just type in the search, monkeys, oppression. Just type in those two words. And you're going to see an experiment. It's a TED experiment where a professor, he put monkeys in a cage. One monkey here, the other monkey here. They can see each other. And he taught those monkeys to fulfill a function. If they take a stone and give it to the handler, they give them a cucumber. MashaAllah, monkeys love cucumbers. But they love grapes more than cucumbers. So they put the two monkeys in front of each other. They come to the one monkey. He gives the lady the stone. She gives him a cucumber. They go to the next monkey. Instead of giving a cucumber, they give that monkey in front of the other one a grape. The next monkey, the previous one, it said, hey, he got a grape. He gives the lady a stone. She gives him a cucumber. What does he do? He gets angry. He takes the cucumber, throws it in her face. Wallahi, a monkey. A monkey understands dhulm, oppression, wrongdoing. I did what this one did. You gave him a delicious grape. You give me a tasteless cucumber. Dhulm, rationale. It has a level of aql. But your aql is not just what happened. Your aql is the ability to determine what will happen. The thing that makes you different to that monkey is that monkey, you can keep doing that same experiment and it will keep thinking you will give it a grape next time and not learn that you will not. But you're able to learn. Third, after you are a physical, rational being, you have a ruh, which animals don't have. This is the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah. You have a ruh that was created when Adam was created, alayhi salam. And your ruh was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to arrive in this badan, in this era, in this day, in this age, in this time, without your interference. You couldn't choose your parents, your father, your mother. You couldn't choose what country you were born in or what skin color would entomb your ruh. You couldn't choose what language you'd speak, whether your parents were rich or poor, what level of affluence they had. You couldn't choose anything like that. Your soul was delivered and was commanded through fitrah, a natural inclination, to return to its creator in the way that it was intended, which is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that soul, that spirit, is significant. It's what makes you important. Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim, he says, we know that the ruh is more important than the aql and the badan, because if the soul leaves, there is no aql and there is no badan. Khalas. You're put in the earth and the earth eats your body. Khalas. There's no use to this physical being. So the essence is the soul. Happiness, genuine happiness, true happiness for you as a believer, for you as a human being, my dear brother and sister in Islam, is that each one of those three levels receives what it needs. When one of them is disturbed, the others are disturbed, and happiness cannot be complete. You can be given a wonderful mind. It's active and alive and thinking. But your soul is not at rest and you feel that your life is worthless. There's many, many intelligent, smart people who feel worthless in their life. Many talented people. And one of the strange things that you see is that you see some of those who reach iconic status in the physical domain of the world. Physical beauty, wealth, in abundance, you know, intelligence and fame. People who are actors and models and these kind of things where people say, I wish I had that man's life. I wish I was as famous as her. I wish I looked as good as that man. And then you see every so often in the news that these same people who became icons in society couldn't sleep at night except through medication. They had to take narcotics, self-medicate, just so that I can have a moment of rest. Because the soul is without ease. There are others whose soul, alhamdulillah, is comfortable. But they allow the desires of the world to overcome the tawheed that they have. So all of a sudden there's this brother, mashallah, Allah's blessed him with iman and maybe even a memorization of the Quran and good in life. And he looks at other people. I wish I had that car that man has. Ana basalli, I pray. Why has Allah not given me this man? La yusalli, doesn't pray. But he has a job and a wife and an income and this and this and this and this and this. Wa ana usalli. I pray and I have none of that. Assuming that just the spirit is enough. But it must be the three that come together in a holistic capacity so that you and I can feel the relief of happiness. Where does happiness come from? The first is internal, your heart. The Prophet ﷺ, he would teach the Sahaba that we live in this life transient. يعني أنت في الدنيا كَعَابِرِ سَبِيلِ. You're like someone who's traveling through life. What does travel? I'm a traveler. What do I do? يعني I came to Birmingham. What do? I come and visit the sites. I visit, mashallah, Green Lane Masjid. How could you come to Birmingham and not visit the masjid? Mashallah, Ahl al-Sunnah. You come to the masjid. You see the brothers. But I don't stay. I'm not a part of it. I come, I take some of its good. I maybe, may Allah forgive us, I might leave something not good. I might take something not good. I'm burdened, I'm tested. But I come and I go. I visit another site. I spend time, I spend energy. I seek relief, I sit under a tree, I sit in a hotel. I try to pass through. And eventually I go back to where I am truly from. Such is life. You are a visitor. It's like you've gone to a beach. You've gone to Umrah. You've gone to the Ka'bah. You go, you visit, you see. And then eventually you're going to have to come back to where you belong. So the first level is this level of tumatnina in the heart. That whatever happens in the physical domains in life, don't take it to heart too much. Don't ever, ya Abdullah, take to heart too much gain or loss in the physical realms of life. Don't be so attached to the thing that you forget the one who provided it in the first place. Even our own children, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why when you look in the life of the prophets of Allah, you see that their life was full of loss in what? The physical. And therefore the prophet would say, Allahumma la taj'al fitnatana fi deenina. Oh Allah, don't make my fitna in the spiritual thing, in the things that relate to the deen. Ya Allah, you've taken from me Ibrahim, his son sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You've taken Tahir, Al-Qasim. You've taken my three sons. People ridicule me. They say, Abtar, that I'm cut off, I have no lineage. And Allah responds, Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. No, the one that ridicules you in this way, they're the ones who've cut off from all good in this dunya and akhirah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first level of happiness is that you begin to free your heart of the possessions of this worldly life. Now don't confuse this to mean you shouldn't want good things. Ya akhi, you should work hard to have a nice car and a nice home and nice clothes. In the authentic hadith, there's a riwayah in Muslim and a riwayah in Tirmidhi, and this is the riwayah of Imam Tirmidhi. The Prophet ﷺ, he stands up and he speaks to the Ummah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he says, none of you shall enter Jannah, meaning with the first of people, if in their heart is an atom's weight of kibr, arrogance. So a man stood up from the back and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna rajula minna yuhibbu an takuna thiyabuhu hasana. One of us likes to wear nice clothes. Wa mat'amuhu and fine cuisine. Wa markabahu hasana, and to ride a nice ride, a good steed, a nice car for our time. Is this arrogance, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet said, Laysa kadhalik. No, you misunderstand. Al-kibr, the arrogance that precludes you from entering Jannah with expedience, is batarul haqq, that you reject the truth when it came to you, on account of you thinking the one carrying it to you is less than you. You look at your son who's young, he's my son, he's going to teach me the sunnah. She's my wife, she's going to teach me. This young, newly graduate from Medina, I've been Muslim longer than he's been alive. He's going to teach me the sunnah. So you reject the truth on account of the one carrying it to you. وَغَمْضُ النَّاسِ. You look at another person as being insignificant to compared to your position and status in life. It could be the clothing they wear, the education they possess, the money and the affluence and the power and the access they have is deficient in comparison to you. Those two things are the arrogance spoken of by the Prophet ﷺ. Listen to the words of Ali radiallahu anhu. He says, Zuhd means that you don't love this worldly life too much. Zuhd, laysa zuhd annaka la tamluk min ad-dunya shay. Zuhd doesn't mean you don't own anything from the dunya. This is a false zuhd. This is the false zuhd of those who claim that they are Sufi. No, I don't want anything in life. Actually, those are the olden Sufis. Currently, there are other Sufis who take lots in the dunya. right? So it's changed a little bit. But in the olden days, they used to wear the suf. No, we're not gonna. Nah. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, zuhd doesn't mean that you don't take anything from the dunya. أنك لا تملك, that you don't own from the dunya. ولكن الزهد, زهد, the trueness of زهد, أن الدنيا لا تملك منك شيء. True زهد is that the worldly life doesn't own you. Allahu Akbar, think of those words. Look how deep those words. Look how in one sentence he puts our lifestyle in perspective. Own a nice phone, a nice car, but don't make the pursuit of it blind me to the akhirah. I can own a car that's 5,000 pounds. I can afford that. Alhamdulillah, what's wrong with that? But I want a 30,000 pound car. I can't afford it. I'm going to take a riba loan for it. That means that that car owns me. I don't own it. See, the way modern economics has now been structured is that it makes people believe that debt is wealth. What does that mean? A person, they own a home, they think they own the home. The home cost 100,000 pounds. They only had 5,000 pounds, 10,000 pounds. And they went to the bank and said, here's 10,000 pounds. Can you buy the home? Give me a loan to buy the home. So actually, the bank owns what? 9/10 of the home. 90,000 out of the 100,000. And you look and you say, MashaAllah, look at my house, my house. You've become confused that you think debt is wealth. Wallahi, it's not. You're in debt, 90,000 in debt. But you think criminally, wrongly, erroneously, that your debt is actually wealth. This is the problem with credit cards. The average person in Australia, won't talk about the UK, the average adult in Australia carries an unsecured credit card loan of $7,000. Yani, for nothing that you, they can't give anything back to get to pay the $7,000. The average adult in Australia, out of 30 million people, most of them, they owe $7,000 to a credit card. And they say, MashaAllah, look at my new phone, MashaAllah. Look at my new TV. Look at my new car. Look at my new... The dunya owns you. Not you own things from it. So the first level of success is that your heart is at peace. It doesn't mean that you sit and say, oh no, I'm happy, just alhamdulillah, this is enough. La, go out and work. The Sahaba, there was the rich of them. There were the wealthy of them who spent upon Muhammad ﷺ and upon the deen of Allah. وَالْمُؤْمِنُ الْقَوِيُّ أَحَبُّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الضَّعِيفِ. The believer who is endowed with strength of finance and wealth and intellect and physical being is more loved by Allah than the weak believer. Make money, ya akhi. Earn it from halal. Spend it in halal and give it zakah. Allahu Akbar. Don't do anything else. Even sadaqah, it's up to you now. Earn. Work. Al-yadul uliya khayrun min al-yadis sufla. The hand that's giving is better than the hand that is taking. Ah, we are a people of juhd. A Muslim always knows how to make money. Wallahi, this is my father would say. Rawahu Adil Ibrahim. Huh? Muslim knows how to make money. We're the people who go buy something at a cheap price, sell it a little bit higher price. We buy low, sell high. We are the traders. We're the ones from Gujarat and Pakistan and mashallah. And Magharba and making things happen. This is how we've always been. We're the people who we move. We don't just sit idle. But that doesn't mean we're making the dunya own us. Your heart must be at ease. Number two, your mind must be at ease. Doubt in your heart is fatal to iman. Yani, don't think because you have a question about faith, it means you're a bad believer. People who had greater faith than you, that you will never have the iman they had, ask questions you and I may be shy to ask. Ibrahim asks Allah, Allah quotes it in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, a couple of verses after Ayat Al-Kursi. Ibrahim says, Ya Allah, Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyi al-mauta. Oh Allah, show me with my eyes, not in a dream. Don't send Jibreel to talk to me about it. I want to see it while I'm awake with my own eyes. How you will bring the dead to life. So Allah asks Ibrahim, Awalam tu'min? It's you asking me this because you don't believe Ibrahim? Is it you doubt I can do it? قَالَ بَلَا وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Oh Allah, I am complete in faith. But in my heart, I want there to be what? Tranquility. Because your mind, if it has a question that is unresolved, it will undermine your iman. You have to ask. And just say you asked me and I gave an answer you're not happy with, don't stop with me or him or her. Don't stop until you receive an answer. Allah doesn't just say to Ibrahim alayhi salam, okay, since you believe, khalas. He says, okay, I know you believe, ya Ibrahim. But I know there's this doubt in your heart. There's this tribulation. There's this thing in your heart. Lack of tuma'nina. There's a lack of tranquility. You need to see it. So Allah says, فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ اجْعَلْ عَلَى كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِّنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا. Take four kinds of birds of different colors and species, different shapes and sizes. Cut them up into small pieces. Mix them up together so you don't know which is which. Put them on the distant mountains far apart from each other. ثُمَّ ادْعُهُنْ. Say, come to me. يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيَا. You will see they will come back to, like a puzzle, come back together, flying back to you. And know that Allah is mighty and wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah shows him the evidence. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of his sahaba, they were traveling in a journey. One of them fell, hit his head and was bleeding, about to die. His friends, the companions, they took his turban, stopped the bleeding. He came back to consciousness. They saved his life. The time of salah comes and this sahabi was faqih. And he said to them, if I make wudu with water and I put it on my head, I'm afraid I will die. Because it's unclean water. Maybe I'll start bleeding again. Can I make tayammum? Look what the sahaba said. They followed the Quran, mashallah. They said, Allah says in the Quran, إِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا. If you don't find water, make tayammum. Allah didn't say about any bleeding and any of this. They took the word of Allah, what? Without the fiqh it meant. And they didn't ask the one who could teach its fiqh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They just took the ayah just bidahiriha. They said, no, how dare you say this? You can't make tayammum. You can't have this ijtihad. Take off your turban and make wudu. Took it off. Made wudu, prayed, died. They come to the Prophet ﷺ and they tell him what happened. And he said, قَتَلُوا. They killed him. أَلَا سَأَلُوا. Why didn't they ask me? Why didn't they ask me if they don't understand the ayah? Because see, when you take an ayah and you don't understand it, you are a jahil. And you can put people to death with the jahl. This is what we see with the extremism today. They take the ayah and what? Don't understand it. And then when you say the people of knowledge have spoken, they say, no, these people are only knowledge of siyam and fiqh of food. And nah. Ask them about halal and haram. These are other issues. La. Jahl. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the Prophet ﷺ said, they killed that man. أَلَا سَأَلُوا إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ. The cure to ignorance is to ask a question. So you and I are compelled to ask questions because our rationale and our mind, at times, it puts us in a place where iman begins to erode and it can be a fatal point in our life that we lose faith in Allah over something small that if we asked about it years ago, would have resolved us and we would have remained upon faith. But sometimes when our children come with questions that we're unable to answer, our response is, shh, just do it. But this isn't the response of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our deen began with the word iqra sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That questioning and pondering and learning and understanding and rationalizing and debating and studying our deen brings happiness to the heart when it's resolved from its tribulations and doubts. And the final is the rest of the soul. That your nafs, your ruh, finds tumatnina with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Surely it is with the remembrance of Allah, with the reminders that Allah has sent in the Quran, that the heart finds rest. And if, my dear brother, my dear sister in Islam, you are a person who picks up the Quran and you read from it and you study from it, but your heart is not put to rest, then you're doing it wrong. Then there's a problem. Because Allah tells you, it gives you tranquility. If as you're reading Quran or after reading Quran, you're fighting with your wife, you're doing it wrong. If as you're reading the Quran or after reading the Quran, you're consistent with the Quran, there is hostility and negativity with your children, in your workplace, in your habits and your akhlaq with others, you're doing it wrong. The dhikr is not entering down through your throat. And the Prophet ﷺ warns us that there are people who the words of Allah are on their tongue, but they don't descend through the throat to touch their heart. The aim of the Quran is to soften your heart, to make you bend towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more you are remembering Allah, mindful of Allah, the more you are mindful of His creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. The essence of the dhikr of Allah is that it makes you understand that you have a time you will be questioned by Allah. What is dhikr? What are you supposed to remember? When you say, Adhkurullah, I'm going to remember Allah, means I'm going to remember that I'm going to stand in front of Allah and be questioned. So I better be from those who are hamidan lillah, alhamdulillah. That's why you say alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. Why? So you are from those on the day of judgment, you could say, Ya Allah, I praised you for the good you gave me. And I thanked you for the good you gave me. And I praised you even when I was receiving what I didn't think was good, Ya Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. What's subhanallah? What does this word mean? That means that everything that I think is perfect will be ruined. And none but Allah will remain as He is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. You look at your beautiful baby, mashallah, subhanallah. What a beautiful baby. And then they become a teenager. You say, A'udhu billah. No, I'm just joking, right? You look at that mountain scene. You know, you go, mashallah, you go to Kashmir. Subhanallah. Look at this place. And then you say, La. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ. They ask you about the mountain. فَقُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا. My Lord will level them like they are dust. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهًا. Nothing will remain except the magnificence of the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Subhana. Nothing remains in its beauty and completion but Allah azza wa jal. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. What's Allahu akbar? That whatever difficulty I have, Allah is greater. And whatever good I have, it's because Allah, the one who is greater than all things, is the one who made it and facilitated it. It's not me, I'm not akbar. It is Allahu akbar. And the one who is greater than all is the one who can take it all. Everything is owned by Him. Lahu, to Him alone, ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard, what is in all of the heavens and all of the earth, وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, and what is between them, وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى, and what is beneath the surface of this earth. Nothing is for you. You are just a person who is using the ni'mah bestowed upon you by Allah Azza wa Jal. That dhikr is what settles the soul. And if you are not remembering and remindful and thinking of Allah in that capacity, your soul will always be in agitation. You will always find that your soul is not at rest. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the things that he taught the Sahaba, was to get their soul to be at rest. Sakina. He would say simple things. La taghdab. Don't be angry. What does that mean? Control yourself. Don't let your soul become excited. I wish to leave you with three final short hadith of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that dramatize to us happiness. The first happiness is the happiness on the day we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ said that there is no greater joy, and the hadith is with Muslim, for any human being, any believer, than the day Allah will unveil Himself to us in Jannah. هَذَا يَوْمٌ مَزِيدٌ. It is the day of increase, because you will be given beauty in Jannah, but you will think that beauty is amazing, and then you will see your Lord, and everything in Jannah is meaningless. Because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a moment of joy. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that your fasting, one of the rewards of it, is when you meet Allah azza wa jal. And that's an allegory that you're going to meet Allah, that you will become acquainted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who you were barred from seeing, the prophets were unable to see him in this life, in their wakeful state, you will be able to see him subhanahu wa ta'ala as the greatest source of delight. Number two is the happiness you have with your spouse. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talks about the contentment between a husband and wife. That it is the greatest thing you as a Muslim man can ever have in life. There is nothing you can attain, nothing you can ever possess in life better than al-mar'at as-saliha, than a good woman. How does the Prophet describe her? He says, التي إن نظر إليها زوجها أصرت. She's a woman who, when her husband sees her, he feels happiness. يعني, your wife Khadija or Aisha or Fatima, she's waiting for you at the door. You come driving your car to pick her up, mashallah, from the masjid. You went to get it because it's raining. You told her, wait. And as you're waiting in the queue, you see her. To feel that you have that devotion to her. Oh, look at how he's looking. What is this? Do you know one of the greatest sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ in dealing with his wife, that he would look at them? I did it with my wife once, but I started doing it more, yani. I'll give you some secrets, brothers. Alright, yani. She was, mashallah, doing the dishes, and yani, I was reading, and it said the Prophet, كَانَ يُطِيلُ النَّظَرُ. The Prophet used to extend his look a lot to his wives. Yani, he would keep looking at Aisha, kida, mashallah, radiallahu anha wa arda. He just keep looking until she would blush, and she would, and that's why she was called al-Humaira. He would look at her until she became blushed, shy. Why you keep looking at me? So I look at my wife, kida, mashallah, she's doing the dish. She goes, what are you looking at? Because, yeah, wallahi, do it with your wife tonight, ya akhi. Yani, khaliha kida, and just look at her, mashallah. Dreamy eyes, mashallah. Just look at her, kida, min ba'id. She will find it strange. What are you looking at? She will think something's wrong with her. She might even become uncomfortable and leave the room. What's wrong with this man? Get a majnoon. What is this? But this was a sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's something that we as men have forgotten. Because look at what Allah, what does Allah tell you not to do to other women? What are you not supposed to do? not to look. So for the one you have, mafhum bil mukhalif, it means Allah's encouraging you to do what to the one you can look at? Is to keep looking. MashaAllah kida yani. Don't, I'm gonna look. And you just chase her, keep looking kida. Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That love is a moment of joy and happiness in your home. The Sahaba, they would become bewildered. They would say, Ya Rasulullah, when I have, between my wife and we are together, I get reward for this? Prophet ﷺ would say, if you did it somewhere else, would you be punished? He said, yes. He said, so of course there's a reward. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, the reward of having company with your wife in its barakah is as great as the sin of doing it in haram. Yani, if you do that fahisha in haram, how big of a sin is it? It's a huge sin. So if you do it in halal, it is a huge... Allahu Akbar. Look at love. Look at the love that we are encouraged to have, because it puts joy and happiness in the home and in the heart. And the final hadith that I share with you, of the greatest things that bring happiness to your life, is the salah and the salam upon the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing, ya Abdullah, no discomfort that you feel, no forgetfulness that you have, no poverty that you experience, no inability to give sadaqah. You know, Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim, he says, when a person doesn't have sadaqah to give, his sadaqah is the salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, look at, it was a remedy for everything. A salah upon the Prophet ﷺ is called al-mufarrija, the thing that undoes difficulty. Sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad. The one who is consistent in the salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ feels a joy of heart that none can experience except if they increase greater than him in the salah upon the Prophet ﷺ. Be of habit. Because if you make salah upon the Prophet, it is one, but Allah returns 10 upon you. Yani, look at this investment. You have asked Allah to grant peace to an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will give you 10 levels of peace on account of that remembrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I conclude by saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen innaka hamidun majid. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses me and you with joy of heart, with the joy of our body and the joy of our mind and the joy of our soul. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the measures of success that make us of those who are envied by others for our righteousness, not for our possessions. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shields us from the envy of others by giving them what they want and protecting for us what we have. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors us in this life and in the next life and saves us from the punishment of Jahannam. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to bless this community and this masjid and its administration and its people who come and attend it in their large numbers for the jama'at and the salawat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to provide for them from where they don't expect, and that Allah increases our love and taqwa of Him Azza wa Jal. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the shafa'a of Al-Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we are from those who are in the forefront of entering Jannah with Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heals us with the Qur'an and blesses us with its teaching and message so that we live its life. Allahumma ameen. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us from the Qur'an the things that we don't know, and helps us remember from the Qur'an the things that we have been made to forget, and blesses us with the recitation and the prayer of the Qur'an in the night when others sleep. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli lahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina wa habibina wa nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت
top of the head, Sheikh Ibrahim, for benefiting us.